Listener-supported Light of Life Radio brings you Answering the Call, discussing the spiritual journeys of priests, deacons, and religious in our listening area. And now here's Answering the Call with host Irene Carubia.
Welcome, Father McSweeney, and thank you for serving parishioners in our listening area. Tell us about your background.
My background was in West Cork, in County Cork, in a little village called Rossmore, R-O-S-S-M-O-R-E. My father and mother were storekeepers. They sold bread and butter and many things. And then my dad was a man. In that time, a lot of people were bicycles. He sold bicycles, you know. And he also mended them, punctures, and put in cotter pins and everything else to keep the wheels on the road. And anything he said to keep us going, to keep the bread and butter on the table for five of us. I'm the oldest of five. Two brothers and two sisters. With my mom and dad had six kids. The first child was named Edward, and he died of convulsions shortly after birth. Edward McSweeney. So I grew up there in that little village. Across the road was 50 yards away was the church. It's a magnificent church. There was a man-sized crucifix over the altar. The sanctuary was all marble. The altar rails all around the sanctuary was all marble. My dad told me there was a gentleman by the name of Orlando Dinelli back 50, 60, 70, 80 years ago. The marble came from Italy, but he was the one that installed the marble in St. Mary's Church in Rossmore. It's a magnificent church.
Is it still there today?
Oh, it is, yeah, it's still there. And I grew up there. My mom and dad went to Mass every day. And my brothers and sisters were there. And every night when I was growing up there, we'd sit down and Mom would lead us in the rosary. You know? So Mom and Dad were very prayerful, and so were my brothers and sisters. You know? And then I attended the local grade school. They call it a national school over there. And at sixth grade, I went up to Cork City to a boarding school. And called Farran Ferris. And if you were going to be a priest for the Cork and Ross Diocese, which I grew up in, The bishop's name was Bishop Cornelius Lucy. He ordained me a priest June 17, 1972. He gave me confirmation and all that. And so if you wanted to be a priest for the local diocese, you had to go to Farran Ferris for at least 2 years before you qualify for the home diocese, okay? So I went up there and I spent a year and a semester and I got primary tuberculosis and I think pneumonia, whatever else. And strange as it may seem, my high school was interrupted by sickness and then I came back down to the little village there and, by the way, it was a village without a pub. It had the local community hall. Next door was the local PP or the parish priest. Next door was the post office. Down the road was the national school where I went to school. And down further was the shoemaker. And his son and myself went to Farran Ferris in Cork together when we were after the sixth grade. And then I came back to Rossmore, spent a couple of years there. And then I went on a farm with my uncle, John Edward McSweeney, who lived on the McSweeney farm for many, many years. It was the home of the McSweeney family. And I spent 6 years with him. My dad asked me to go there, but he didn't coerce me to go there. Yeah. You know what I mean? Because this man, John McSweeney, he had a farm, 57 acres, and he was living by himself for years.
So what was your job on the farm?
Oh, we bought a tractor and we did some tilling and cattle. We had a milk cows and we did that. We bought in some land that was not very arable, you know what I mean? We blew up rocks and it wasn't a farm that was pristine, you know what I mean?
Yes.
It had a lot of rocks and hills and bushes and everything else. But we did some work there. And then at 21, I decided, even though my uncle would give me the farm, I wasn't going to be a farmer. I wasn't going to get married, even though I had a lovely girlfriend for a couple of years. And I said, I want to become a priest. And so I knew the Sacred Heart Fathers there. They had a house in West Cork. I knew Father Morgan Curran, who was a kind of a mentor to me. He was in charge of novices there and the Sacred Heart priests, or would-be priests. And so I knew about the order. And I went up there one day to Cork City to meet Father Paddy Breen, who was the superior. And I told him, I says, Father Paddy, I'd like to be a priest of the Sacred Heart Order. And we chatted. And in so many words, he said maybe that I wasn't cut out to be a Sacred Heart missionary priest. So I said, okay. I went back down on the farm. And then another day, I went down to Clonakilty, where there was a Monsignor John Barrett. He was Vicar General of the diocese, and he was in a town there. And I said, Father Barrett, Monsignor Barrett, I want to be a priest. He says, oh, yeah, sure. I can get you on in the diocese of Savannah, Georgia. He says that he knew the bishop there, Bishop McDonough, and that in the meantime, he said, we've been loaning out priests from the diocese of Cork and Ross to go and loan out to the diocese of Savannah. So anyway, I listened to what he had got to say, and I went back. I didn't pursue that, even though I could have finished up in Savannah, Georgia. I went back on the farm, and I wrote to Father Redmond Roach, Mungret College, Limerick. In Mungret College, Limerick, they had a two-year philosophate. They had a special class for, quote, late developers, including myself, who didn't finish my secondary education. And they had a secondary school there, too. So all that was there in Mungret College, Limerick. So I applied to Father Roach, and he says, it's not easy, he says, for a man of 22 who hasn't finished your secondary school to become a priest before you'd be accepted there. He says you need a religious order or a bishop, you know, to adopt you. And then as luck would have it, as providence, whatever you want to call it, there was a Father Robert E. Lee came over to Ireland and was going around to colleges and seminaries recruiting would-be priests for West Virginia. That time it was the Diocese of Wheeling. And so Father Roach in Limerick sent him down to me on the farm. And he found me out there playing Gaelic football with some friends of mine. And he peeped in over the ditch. He says, he saw me in there because he never met me before. And there was a good friend of mine, Johnny Murray. He got married many years ago. I would go dancing with him and all the Gaelic football and hurling games. He got married. He has 11 kids. And I met him there last year when I went back to Ireland. I keep in touch with him. But anyway, Father Lee was outside the ditch and he says, Johnny's piped up. Is it me you're looking for? No, he said. I'm looking for Jerry McSweeney. So we went down on the farm. And strange as it may seem, Father Lee never met my uncle and never went into the home. You know what I mean? We talked outside. My uncle has a great gardener. He had monkey trees. And so I talked to him there and he told me about West Virginia. There are 55 counties, about 100,000 Catholics at most, and not much of a Catholic presence in a lot of those counties. Then he told me also that there was a long history of Irish priests coming here back to the beginning of the diocese 150 years ago. There was a priest from Dunmanway, County Cork, Father Donlaw Donovan. He'd been out here for double donkey's years, you know, out here in West Virginia. So I signed up in 1964 for the Diocese of Wheeling Charleston. I spent 3 years in Mungret College in Limerick. The philosophy closed down, and there were five of us went over to St. Peter's Seminary in Wexford. A classmate of mine went there, and he's now a priest. Father Jimmy Hines is down in San Antonio. And in that special class for late developers, you had an ex-sailor, Jimmy Hines, an ex-garda, which is a policeman, and others, you know, that were, quote, late developers. And we had that special class. And I salute the Jesuits for having that class there. I just thanked him for this day. I was just 3 years with the Jesuits, and then on the seminary, I was with diocesan priest in St. Peter's Seminary in Wexford. And I was ordained a priest in Kinsale, County Cork, by Bishop Cornelius Lucy on the 17th day of June, 1972, for the Diocese of Wheeling Charles.
Since you've been in West Virginia, how many parishes have you been a pastor for?
My first parish, Irene, was St. Anthony's Church, St. Anthony's Parish in Follinsby, West Virginia. I was appointed there by Bishop Hodges. I was among the people there in Follinsby for 3 years. From 72 to 75, I was among all those warm-hearted Italians. Father Moore, I was there with him for 1 year. Talk about a character of a man. Many people know him. He's a dead legend now because I was there with him for 1 year. Then he was transferred up to St. Paul's in Weirton. And I was there for two years with Father Tom Schiffer. And I got a great experience there. And I had my baptisms and weddings and things like that there under the tutelage of Father Schiffer and Father Harold Wessels Moore. They call him Father Dinty Moore. And then in 75, I was propelled down to St. Francis de Sales in Beckley, West Virginia. I was asked to be an associate pastor with Father Tom Kerrigan. And Father Kerrigan, Lord have mercy on his soul, a native of Weston, died at 52 before I got there. And then they asked me to do administrator for 5 or 6 weeks. And then after that period of time, Bishop Hodges tapped Father Stephen J. Wolin, who was a pastor at St. Anne's in Shinston, to come down. And I was there with Father Wolin for 2 years. He was very good to me. He took me up. Father Dean himself took me up to Snowshoe to begin skiing in when I was down there, and many other things. Father Steve rode planes and things, you know. We call him the Polish Count. I knew his mother. His sister just died a couple of years ago. Stacy Coachett. So I was there for 2 years, and then I was given my first pastorate in St. John's and Mullins and Holy Cross in Pineville. I succeeded the very famous Monsignor Samuel Simon Sakus. Many people in West Virginia know Sam Sakus. He was in Moundsville, he was in Paden City, and other places. Father Sakus is now retired, and he lives up in New Jersey. He takes care of his brother, who's been having Parkinson's for many years, Blaise Sakus. You know? And himself and Father Pat McDonough are my best friends for over 40 years. You know, we call ourselves three members of the unholy trinity. Father Pat McDonough has been 30 years at St. Albans, and Father Sakus just retired after 20 years being at St. Francis de Sales in Beckley.
So where did you go after that?
After spending 40 years in Wyoming County, I was transferred over to St. Catherine's of Siena in Ronceford and St. Louis in Lewisburg. That's in Greenbrier County. I spent 6 years there, two churches. And then after 6 years at St. Catherine's Siena and St. Louis and Lewisburg, they asked me to go over to St. Peter and Paul in Oak Hill. There's a school there, and I was there for 5 years. So all in all, I was down in southern West Virginia for 17 years, and I loved it. The people down there, a lot of them were coal miners and other backgrounds, and many of them were ethnically connected with Europe, you know, Poland and Lithuania and places like that, Hungary. And I really enjoy that. I liked southern West Virginia very much. And then I went from Oak Hill, West Virginia. And by the way, Father Harold Wessels Moore, Father Dinty Moore, succeeded me in Oak Hill, West Virginia. My first pastor for a year. He succeeded me there. So then I was over, I was asked to go to St. Luke's in Cheat Lake. And I was there for 10 years at St. Luke's in Cheat Lake, and that's east of Morgantown.
Yes, that's where I first met you.
And then after that, Bishop Schmidt said to me, tapped me on the shoulder, says, Jerry, go down to St. Patrick's in Weston. So I was there for 7 years. St. Patrick's in Weston. And they had a school there too. Half the kids in the school are not Catholic. But any place that you go with a school, people have to work fierce hard. And the priest has to be absolutely convinced of the value of Catholic education. So I spent 7 years there. 7 years is an idea of perfection or fullness. And then I was appointed up St. Michael's on National Road under Bishop Bransfield. So I went up there and I was pastor there until last year, June of last year, and I retired. I'm living now with brother priests and other people over at the Clara Welty apartment in Wheeling, West Virginia. I'm doing supply work.
What would you tell a young man who asked you, what was it like to be a priest, and I think I might have a vocation? How would you try to guide him in that?
Well, the first thing I would say to him is that talk to some priest or brother or sister, you know, and help him discern, like, what the Lord is expecting of him. And I would ask him to get in touch maybe with Father Dennis Shulkins, Monsignor Hudock, and now there's a layman, Rick Teachout, you know. He's working in the vocation office, you know. Mm-hmm. And, like, I would ask him also to consider going on retreat or going to somewhere where you spend a couple of days saying, what does the Lord is expecting of me? Do I want to become married? Do I get married? Am I called to the single life, you know? And so I would ask him to do that, you know? And I would ask him not to let it out of their mind and heart and soul, you know, when you're called. It's the Lord that does the calling. We do the responding, you know? And here in West Virginia, like, we have only about 85,000 Catholics in a state of 1.25 million.
60% are unchurched.
That's right. And a priest life is not the easiest life in the world, but it's a good life. Because you're giving yourself to the Lord and give yourself to God's people, God's children. It calls for a lot of unselfishness, generosity, and prayer. Maybe prayer is first.
Looking back at the Charismatic Renewal, what was its biggest influence in your life?
When I was at St. Anthony's in Fallonsby, there were the sisters poor sisters of the Child Jesus were there, and one of them or two of them would go over to Steubenville, Ohio, to the Franciscan University, and there was a Father David Tickerhoff there way back in the 70s, you know. Mm-hmm. And I would go there sometimes. I didn't go there as often as I'd like, but I would go over to Steubenville there. There was a priest over there. I would go to confession to him. I knew Monsignor Richter at St. John's Hospital there. I would go over to visit people from St. Anthony's who were in the hospital there, you know. So I know Steubenville fairly well, you know. So that was my initiation into the charismatic prayer experience. And then when I went down to Mullins, West Virginia, there was a group of women down there, Minnie Thomas, Mary Campbell, Ruth Fordham. And they had a little group there. They prayed charismatically, you know.
Yes.
And so I plugged into it there, in Mullins, West Virginia. Speaking of the Holy Spirit, I was in Morgantown there for 10 years, and I was next to the friary, you know. And we had Father Jude Milley. I would call him Father Bird, because the bird is a symbol of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And Father John Acapito was there, you know. I was our neighbors for 10 years. Father Jude, like, talk about a charismatic man. Very much so. I was at his funeral in Morgantown at St. Mary's there. He died a number of years ago, yeah. He got a peaceful and happy death, went home to the Lord. There's a beautiful prayer that I see oftentimes when people are in extremis. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, assist this person in his last agony. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, I give you the heart and the soul of this person that's dying. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, into your hands I commend his or her spirit. It's a lovely little prayer. It invokes Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. And Joseph, as you know, is a patron saint of a happy death.
Well, Father McSweeney, it's been a pleasure listening to your testimony, and we hope to see you again soon. And so I'd ask you if you could do a blessing for our listeners.
May God the Father bless you. May God the Son abide with you. May God the Holy Spirit bless you in abundance. And I say this in Gaelic, in Nanaman Nahar, Agason Vic, Agason Sprid Nave, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So you get a little bit of Gaelic tone in there for good measure. In Anima Nahar, Agason Vic, Agason Sprid Nave. Thank you for listening.
Answering the Call is produced by Light of Life Radio, your listener-supported Catholic radio station in North Central West Virginia and the Upper Ohio Valley. Archived recordings of Answering the Call are available at www.lolradio.org.